You may have memorized it in King James or NIV or New King James or the New Revised Standard Version or the New English Version or the New Living Translation or the Oxford Translation or part of my problem, ESV, English Standard Version. Part of my problem with reading different Bibles is I have a hard time memorizing things, and then if I switch translations, then they get all jumbled up. So most of the time, most things aren't memorized. It's like, okay, I understand the concept. Here's what it says. So when I say, here's the Ben Munsey translation, that's probably because I don't remember exactly how it said it, but I know what it meant. And last week we talked about the part of the scripture where it says, where Jesus said, taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And we saw that that means our literal food, like we need to trust God, food, clothing, give us the essentials. But also, we must, on a daily basis, depend on God to feed our spirit. That craving in our body that said, there has to be more, no matter what I do, why can't I be happy? That feeling, like I keep trying, maybe this will make me happy. Well, that didn't work. Maybe this will make me happy. That didn't work. There's a hunger in our lives to be happy. And that hunger can only be filled when we say, God, will you please fill this hunger in my life? Please give me the spiritual bread that I need in my life. That's what Jesus was saying also. So if you missed last week, there's the recap. You didn't have to sit through 25 minutes of it. So this week, we've come to the point in the prayer where Jesus prays, forgive us our something. And depending on if you're in Matthew or Luke or if you were what version you're reading, we've learned this. Some people say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Some versions say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In the book of Luke, Jesus says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. We're going to take a look at these and find that there are three simple steps to forgiving people and moving on in life. So if you've ever wondered, how can I forgive them and move on? I'm about to give you three simple steps. Are you ready? Here they come. If you want to close your eyes, you can, so you can remember. Step one, imagine a world where there are no problems. Step two, imagine that you live in that world. Step three, never leave this imaginary world. And then you wake up and you realize that's not possible. That was my joke. Boy, that bombed. Like, there are three simple steps to forgiving people easily. It doesn't happen. That's one of the unrealistic goals we set for ourselves when we become Christians, is to think that, well, now that I'm a Christian, somehow I should expect that I should easily forgive people. It should happen. And if I were a more mature Christian, it would be easy. Everything I've read about this and everything that I've experienced in my life leads me to believe that forgiveness never develops an easy button in our lives. When people hurt us, it will hurt, and we will have to work through forgiving. It's a process of forgiving. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus prays this prayer, and he says that we are to do something. He says, forgive us. In Matthew, the word he actually used is trespasses. That word means forgive us for violating the relationship. The word trespass in the Greek version of the Bible, I don't read Greek, but I read people who do. What that means is, like, we used to be in a close relationship, but something has caused us to slide away from each other. Something that usually they have done to our relationship has caused us to slide away. We were close, they violated the relationship and now we're far apart. In the book of Luke, when Jesus is teaching this, Luke relays this as forgive us our sins. And the word he used for sin is actually a military, like, archery term. When people were shooting at a target and they did not hit what they were supposed to hit, they sinned. Well, the writers of the New Testament took that word and they said, whenever we attempt to do exactly what God wants to do and we don't, we sin. And usually this happens because we're trying to do it on our own power. Like we would say, hey, this is the way I want to do it, and so I'm going to do it. We don't say, God, will you help me to do this? Or, God, what would you like me to do? We say, this is the way I want to do it because it makes me feel good. And in our relationships, sometimes people respond to us that way. Like, I'm not even going to ask God what I should do because this is what I want to do and it makes me feel good. Or you deserve it anyway. And Jesus says, in those relationships, I'm supposed to say, God, forgive my violation of the relationship between me and you the same way I forgive other people who have violated this relationship between us. And this is not fun. No bueno. No me gusta. I don't like it. Because sometimes people have done things very wrong. But just after this, where he says, forgive us, he finishes the prayer, and then he goes on to explain this. In the next couple verses, Jesus says, if you forgive the sins that are against you, so someone has sinned against you, they have violated your relationship, if you forgive them for that, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. And then there's a big but. And none of us like big buts in the Bible. If you don't know, don't ask. Jesus says, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that's where it's not fun, because what I like to say is, but God, I have never, fill in the blank. And then I come back here and he says, but if you refuse to forgive others, in both of these cases, Jesus told, so if you're reading it in Matthew or if you're reading it in Luke, the same concept. Somebody has violated our relationship. And I must be willing to say, this is what Jesus says, I must be willing to say, I am not going to collect on this debt. You owe me something, and I'm not going to collect on it. Hold on to that thought before you go down the rabbit trail of, yes, but what if? We're going to get there in just a second. A little bit later in Matthew, Jesus tells a story about, in my Bible, it's titled The Ungrateful Servant. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, there was a man who owed a great deal of money. And as of when Tuesday, I calculated how much money this would be in today's terms. So here's what Jesus was saying. There was a man who owed $199,932,654. So let's just say $200 million. There is a man who owed $200 million. And the king was calling in his debts. And this man came and the king says, you owe me $200 million. And the man is like, I can't pay it. Please have mercy on me. So the king said, your debt is forgiven, erased. You don't owe it anymore. And the guy was like, yes, it's awesome. This man leaves and goes out and comes across someone in town who owes him some money. And I calculated this, $2,000. He comes across someone who owes him something that if he did a little bit of work, took some time, was intentional, he could pay the debt off. He owed him $2,000. And as Jesus tells the story, he says, the man who had been forgiven $200 million snatches this man up and throws him into prison until he can pay. The king heard about this and said, you ungrateful servant, you're going to prison. It says that the man who was not willing to forgive $2,000, like you have a $200 million debt and it's forgiven and you can't overlook $2,000. Jesus said, the king called that man back and said, sorry, you're going to prison. The concept Jesus is relating here is God has forgiven you of something that you can never repay. Like there is no chance that you are ever going to be able to repay that. But you're not willing to release the debt that someone else has on you. Here's one of those rabbit trails. Yes, but you don't know what someone has done to me. When I was a kid, they fill in the blank. Or I trusted them. I have a friend in Columbus who was in business with another man. They owned the business. The other man had 51%. My friend had 49%. The other guy decided that he was going to cut my friend out of the business and say, get lost. Just a handy dandy tip. If you're ever in business and you own 49%, you better be really good friends with the person you're in business with because they have the majority control. So they decide what happens. And this guy decided that my friend was out. God, you don't know that he took everything I had built up over my entire life and he kicked me out. Some of us may have been in situations where there were people who we trusted. They were supposed to protect us. They were supposed to be looking out for us. And they took advantage of us. I don't know if you're familiar with Joyce Meyer. She's a pastor. I think she's in St. Louis, I believe is where she is. This is a public story, so she's told it, and other people have told it, so I'm going to retell it. When Joyce was a young girl, her father did very bad things to her. 200 times, I believe, was the total, was the count that she came up with. She confronted her mother, said, Mom, this is happening. Her mom ignored it. When she turned 18, Joyce moved out and ended up getting married. They moved away from her parents. And as she became older, she started, and I promise you, this takes a great deal of prayer. She began reaching out to her family, only to be met with, I don't know what you're talking about. That never happened. Well, her parents got pretty old, and she and her husband decided to buy her parents a house 8 miles from their own. Moved her parents in, and continued to love them. To the point that one day, a few years later, Joyce's mother called and said, your dad's been crying all week, and he won't stop. Will you please come to the house? And after many, many, many years of denial and many years of Joyce and her husband praying, her father said, I'm guilty and I'm sorry. A few weeks later, Joyce baptized her father. That story has a happy ending. They don't all have happy endings. But here's a woman who, if she wanted an excuse to say, yes, but do you know? Okay, great. Do you know what they've done? We have some of these. Mine isn't to that extent. We all have our stories. I tell you everything that's going on in my life. I wrote a letter this week, and all it said was, I forgive you, and I pray that God will give you the joy and the freedom of serving him, something like that, the way he's given me. I wrote my letter. It's funny how all this stuff that I could tell you what happened this past week where I preached on trusting God, and then wham, all right, Ben, are you going to do it? And this week I'm preparing and I'm thinking forgiveness, and all right, Ben, are you going to do it? It's not fun. You know why it's not really fun is because for years I have had something to hold over this person. You hurt me, I remember, and one person at a time, as people enter my life, I can inflict wounds to your character because I just told them what you did. And now I've just told them what you did. And the more people I tell, the more people know that you're a dirtbag. And I retain control. I retain some power over these people or over this person by not forgiving them. I still have some power over them. I hold on to that. There's a story in the Old Testament about this man named Jonah. And God came to Jonah and said, we didn't actually, like, hi, Jonah, I'm God. It just says that God spoke to Jonah and he said, go to Nineveh and tell the people that my judgment's coming. And Jonah said, not a chance. Nineveh was really mean to the Jews. They were mean. Took advantage of them, attacked them. They were very mean people, killed Jews, on and on. And God said, Jonah, go tell Nineveh that my judgment is coming if they don't repent. And Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. So Jonah, instead of taking a message of repent or face judgment, Jonah took off the other direction. And everywhere that Jonah carried this resentment and anger, other people's lives got messed up. The story says that it ended up, Jonah is on this boat of fishermen going the opposite direction of Nineveh. He's like, I am not going to tell them about God. And everyone in that boat suffered because of Jonah's disobedience. His unwillingness to forgive, it affected the entire ship. Big storm came up. Oh no, what are we going to do? And then it comes out, Jonah, you're the reason that this has happened. So they throw Jonah overboard, and Jonah is swallowed up by a big fish. There are big fish that can swallow you up, I promise. He was there for 3 days, made the fish sick, and he finally said, all right, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I don't want to, but I'll do it. The fish puked Jonah back up. Jonah went to Nineveh. You know, the evil people who've been attacking them and killing them and hurting them and taking advantage of them. Jonah went to these people and said, God is telling you that you are evil and you must repent. Joshua judges Ruth, 1 Samuel. It's in here somewhere. You know what the people did? It says that the king heard this message and called the entire city to repentance. He said, nobody's going to eat, nobody's going to drink, not even your cows. The king put on sackcloth and ashes and began repenting. Like, oh my, you're right. I'm really sorry for all of this stuff. And it said that God heard their repentance. What repent means, in case you need an update, repentance means I was going this direction, doing these things. I realize that I'm wrong, and I do one of these. I am no longer going that direction. That's repent. That's not, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me while I keep doing the same thing over and over. Nineveh repented and turned to God, and it said God heard them. Just in case you think just because I'm a pastor, I can find everything really quickly, I'm proving you wrong right now. Here's what it says in Jonah chapter 4. So chapter 3. It says, the king made this decree, no one should eat, we're all going to fast. God saw what they had done and how he had put a stop to their evil ways, and God did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Noah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this? So just a quick recap. God was going to destroy this city. They repented and said, I'm sorry. And God said, thank you. You have repented, and now you're obeying me. And Jonah says, see, God, didn't I tell you this would happen? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are merciful and compassionate, slow to anger. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now. Jonah says, I knew you would forgive them. I knew this would happen. Why don't you just kill me? He went and sat and pouted. Says he pouted out in the sun. He was pouting. God saw him pouting and caused a plant to grow up over his head. And so he was sitting in the shade. Then the next day, a worm came and killed the plant. And it says that Jonah was very sad that this plant that was protecting him was dead. And God's response is, you're more upset about this plant dying than you are an entire city who has repented and has come back to me. And the story of Jonah ends with Jonah pouting because God didn't kill all of these people who had made him mad. When I hold on to this anger in my life, this resentment, I am Jonah. If you want somebody to show them God's love and forgiveness, you better not ask me, because you know what they did to me. I know what they did to me, and I'm on a mission to let everybody know what they did to me. And God said, in the grand scheme of things, what's more important? That you get revenge or that they come to the place where they say, God, forgive me. I will change what I'm doing. Which is more important? Jonah says, I would rather they die. God says, this is eternity. Like, it's really there. You can read it in the book of Jonah. This is eternity. And Jonah's like, I don't care. I'd rather they die. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, if you want your heavenly Father to forgive you, you need to be willing to forgive other people. Well, I've never mistreated any young children. And so my sin isn't really that great. You know, we have the natural tendency to restore relationships. We have this desire to fix relationships. Like, if somebody has hurt us, the reason it bugs us so much is because we want the relationship to be right. What we want is for them to say, you know what? What I did was wrong, and I'm sorry. Even if they do horrible things to us. When I worked at Job Corps, I had some of my students, their parents were horrible people. And these boys were still trying to make their dads proud. I'm like, what in the world's wrong with you? Who cares? It became very obvious to me that we have this desire for relationships to be right. If someone would come to you, even if they had done horrible things, I've played it out so many times in my head. What if he calls someday and says, I'm sorry, what will I say? Like, well, you better be. Or, yeah, well, have you changed? Or, let me remind you of everything you should be sorry for. Let me bring it all, make it fresh again. Like, what would I say if he called? But really what I want is for him to call and say, what I did was wrong, and I'm sorry. Relationships can be restored. We'll always have the memory. But if somebody hurts you and they come back and they truly repent, your relationship can be restored. You can pay off the $2,000. It can happen if there's real repentance. The problem that I get into is I think that my $2,000 I'm owed is greater than the $200 million that I owe God. And I have learned that no matter how hard I try, I cannot be perfect. Heaven is a place of perfection. It is. When you get to heaven, you will be perfect. To get into heaven, you have to be perfect. And no matter how hard I try, or no matter how many years I work at it, I will never be perfect. And when I really get a hold of that, I realize I owe $200 million to God, and I can never pay it. Somebody owes me $2,000. We can live with this. Here's some things that forgiveness is not, and then we'll be finished. Forgiveness is not saying what they did is okay and just letting them get away with it. If somebody has done something wrong and they are continuing to do it wrong, forgiving them doesn't mean that you just allow them to keep hurting other people. There comes a time when you might need to take legal action. You don't do it out of revenge or anger, but an effort to protect. But forgiveness is not saying what you did is okay. It's also not saying let's pretend like it never happened. Forgiveness is not, this is a tough one, especially in families where you have to see people on a regular basis and they're mean to you or me. Forgiveness is not saying, hey, why don't you keep punching me in the stomach? I like it. Do it again, please. Isn't this fun? It's not saying, it's okay that you just keep doing this to me. Please. There's a really good book. If you're in a situation where this is happening to you, like I have to be around these people all the time and this keeps happening, they keep inflicting wounds, and it seems like every time I'm with them, I have something else to forgive. It's a really good book. It's called Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud. If you want to read that one, it'll help you figure out how to say, I forgive you, but I'm also going to protect myself and my family. If you need that, you can come ask me. I'll remind you the name. It doesn't mean that you allow them to keep hurting you. Forgiveness is not allowing that. Forgiveness, what it is saying, God, there is a debt here that someone owes me, and I trust you to manage the debt, so I'm going to give it to you. Somebody has hurt me, and it hurts, and it may always hurt. I am not going to hang on to this resentment or this revenge, and I'm not going to cause everyone else around me to feel tense and angry and have them suffer the consequences of my anger. God, I'm going to give this situation to you, and I'm going to ask you to manage the debt. That's what forgiveness is. It's not saying what they've done is okay. It's not saying keep doing it. It's not allowing it to continue. What it is saying, the debt that is against me now belongs to you, God. And it might even be possible for us to pray for these people that have hurt us and say, in the same way that you have forgiven me, God, please get them to a place in their life where they will ask you for forgiveness. Relationships may never be restored, but my relationship with God can be right because I trust him to manage the debt. That's what forgiveness is. It doesn't mean we're going to have a happy ending just like Joyce Myers. It may not happen. But at a certain point in her relationship, she and her husband said, God, we are going to trust you with this debt. And that's what we do when we say, God, I'm giving this debt to you that they owe me, and I'm not going to hold it anymore. It's yours. And God, I hope you look at me the same way and you treat me the same way. when we say, forgive our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us, that's what God's talking about. I trust God to manage the debt, and I will give it to him, and I will continue to live. Here's what we can do with this week. Is I had to make a deliberate choice. As I wrote that letter, I was like, but I can't be angry anymore. Like, I can't tell everybody now. Like, poor Ben. Oh, he's such a mean person. Poor Ben. As I was writing this letter, I was letting go of my anger. And now you all can, if I ever start, well, let me tell you what he did. You can say, Ben, you have forgiven him. You have my permission to remind me. I'm saying, God, this belongs to you. And I let it go. It was a deliberate choice. There were no butterflies and happy unicorns dancing through the field while I wrote this. It was a choice. Sometimes we have to make a choice to say, it belongs to you, God. I will trust God. So if there are some situations in your life that just eat at you, every time their name comes up or every time you see them, you're like, I hate you. I hope you crash your truck. I hope your business fails. Those are thoughts that have been in my head. Just because you have big wheels on your truck doesn't mean people like you. All right, God, that debt's yours. Can I pray for that person? I just thought of somebody else. Great. I guarantee I'm not writing him a note. Not going to happen. Oh, I said that. I'm not joking. That one's a hard one. Can I trust that God will handle these? I have to make a deliberate choice, and you will have to make a deliberate choice to let God handle it. And God will treat us the same way. If we're able to stand, would you do that, please? There is freedom when you forgive somebody. I guarantee it. And I want you to experience that. We're going to close in prayer. And if you have a situation in your life or you know that you are hanging on, this would be a good time to say, God, I'm letting go. This belongs to you. This would be a good time to do that. If you have never actually said, God, would you please forgive me? This would be a good time to do that. The nice thing about God is he doesn't expect us to act first. Like, God acts first. And really, the way it works is God says, I will forgive you. What are you going to do with my forgiveness? But he says, first, I'll forgive you. And if you've never asked God for his forgiveness, as we pray, I would encourage you to do that. Today's a great day to just let go of all that junk and say, God, it belongs to you. Please forgive me. We're going to pray. And if either of those situations are in your life, I would encourage you to do that this morning. I thank you, God, for reminding us of what you want for us, the goodness. And thanks for giving us chances to grow and become mature. I don't always act on everyone as soon as you tell me, but thank you that you don't give up on us. Help me and help us to continue to trust you with these situations as they come back to our minds, as they come back to my mind, remind me. Hold me accountable for what I've given to you. And help me to understand your forgiveness and the way that it really happened. Help me to pray for the people that have hurt me. Help me to trust you to deal with these situations. I'm grateful for what you've done for each one of us. Help us to show that same love to the people in our lives. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hope you have a great week.